What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Facility Management Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Javier. All right, so let's get into this. So I made a post the other day on LinkedIn in regards to basically in regards to when you hit a level of expertise or mastery in what you're doing, you should become a teacher.
So you're probably asking yourself, how to successfully grow a facility management company in today's digital age while still remaining profitable? You know that marketing should probably be in the mix, but you may not know the best approach, the newest strategies, or which digital platforms market on. So how do you use marketing to grow your FM business today? That is a question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Javier Lozano Jr., and welcome to the Facility Management Marketing Podcast.
Not like a true teacher per se, like where you're teaching at a university or at, you know, higher ed or anything like that, but you're teaching on something. You find a platform and you start educating folks in regards to what you've learned. Okay. That platform could be like this, like a podcast. That platform could be a blog on your website. If you don't know how to create a website, you can use some free blogging platforms as well too. That platform could be social media. It could be LinkedIn. It could be Facebook. That platform could be YouTube. Okay, so you can use that as a platform. You can really select any kind of channel that you want to use to educate your audience. But where I think people get hung up on is that they don't ever think that they are an expert or a master in something because like they still feel like they're still learning and they're still figuring things out and they don't have everything like dialed in and nailed and that sort of stuff. And so I'm going to be honest with you. Like, yes, I am a CMO for a tech company. And yes, I have run my own company before and sold it and essentially have done, you know, some pretty cool stuff for like for some facility management companies. However, in that entire process, like, I was just a few chapters ahead of everybody else. So just kind of keep that in mind that folks sometimes misinterpret what expertise is and mastery is for like a level of almost like PhD. So there was a podcast I was listening to the other day with Andy Frisella. He was interviewing Alex Hormozi. Alex Hormozi, look him up. He is an entrepreneur that was in the fitness industry and just like exploded. He created a system that was replicatable on creating leads and helping gyms to be successful and just essentially was selling this system and made hand over fist like buku money. He made a lot of money, did very well, sold the business, exited to like some sort of PE firm, and then now runs a company called Acquisition.com, maybe? I forget. Anyways, like, well, they acquire small startup type companies that are bootstrap kind of stuff, and they help them. Anyways, he was talking about, in order for you, this is kind of interesting, in order for you to get a high level of comprehension and expertise, all it takes you is 20 hours of dedicated and focused time. Now, high level, like comprehension, like high level of comprehension, doesn't necessarily mean that you are like an expert that knows everything inside and out. Example, if you don't know how to create a website, there's documentation all over the internet on how to do that, right? If you spent a half a week doing this, or basically a weekend, Saturday and Sunday, trying to figure it out 10 hours per day on Saturday and on Sunday, dedicated, focused on doing this, you will walk out knowing how to design a website. You'll find tools, you'll find platforms, you'll find widgets and apps to help you kind of speed this whole process on creating a website that quickly and get it launched. Okay. And it only took you 20 hours to have a high level of comprehension on how to do this. Do you know how long, or like, do you know that the average person has no clue how to create a website? You are now 20 hours ahead of them. Now imagine you took those 20 hours and you continue to build off of it week after week, because now you've got like, okay, now I've got the framework, I've got the page, I can do this. And then you start creating pages and blog posts and content, and you start adding these other widgets, and you do this 1 hour a week, or sorry, 1 hour a day, 7 hours a week. You are now building this muscle. Okay. It's no different from anything else in facility management. Okay. And so in reality, this is where I'm getting to with all of this. If you're, you know, a high level, if you're a high level executive in the facility space, property management space, you should be looking at ways to teach your knowledge of what you've gained in facilities management and how you can help facility managers improve their operations, improve how they handle certain things. You probably have some inside skills, knowledge, expertise, experience on how to handle all of this. And so what I want to point out is that all this stuff is stuck in your head. And when it's stuck in your head, there's no room to keep like filling your brain with new shit. So like there's this old proverb, like Chinese proverb, I think, where you need to empty your cup before you enter a dojo. Okay. Like this is something I used to teach to my karate students back in the day when I ran a martial arts studio, is that when you come into the studio, empty your cup so that you can fill up your cup with new information. Now you might be thinking like, well, I do empty my cup. Like I go in and I'm ready to learn and whatever. Yeah. But like you should be emptying your cup in different ways. Like you should be like a training and understanding, be like, hey, I think I've gained knowledge in this. I understand how to do this. And then you move on to the next thing. But then this piece that you were just learning is a smaller piece of that full cup. Okay. It's like distilled almost. And so another way of emptying your cup is by teaching your knowledge that you've acquired over the years. And this knowledge that you've acquired over the years is information that you can quickly and easily probably just write down. And I've talked about this numerous times in this podcast. You've got to find ways on how to educate your audience in different manners and get over this whole thing of like, well, I just don't, it's, I don't want them to copy what I'm doing. I don't want them to know, you know, what our secrets are. Like, I promise you that they're not going to copy what you're doing. What they're going to do is they're going to be like, man, this guy really understands what they're talking about. This lady really understands what they're talking about. And what this does is that it allows you to start positioning yourself as the expert in X. But you only need to be a few chapters ahead of somebody else to be positioned as an expert. Just like the movie Catch Me If You Can, there's a scene where Leonardo DiCaprio essentially leads for an entire semester a group of college students, okay? And this group of college students think that he's the teacher, the professor, and he was teaching a class on like physics or something like that, something like absurd that he had no idea about. But all he did was he read the chapter ahead of everybody else. So he would talk about the chapter, the previous chapter for the class during that week that he was reading, and then he'd be like a chapter ahead of everybody else. So whenever he got caught and all that stuff, they were interviewing him, like the truth, because it's based on a true story. They're interviewing him. They're like, hey, how did you lead an entire like semester of students in this specific, you know, class that you have no background in? It's like, I just read one chapter ahead of everybody else because I knew that no one would read beyond my chapter or beyond one chapter that they had to read. They would only read that specific thing they had to read. And that's actually human instincts and human nature. Everyone is only going to be doing what they need to do in front of them. And that is it. They're not going to go beyond one, two, three chapters ahead to capture better knowledge and information. They just want to focus on what's going on right now. The majority of your audience, the majority of facility managers, I guarantee this, are just staying above water. They're just floating. They're just keeping their heads up just a little bit. They're barely treading water. Okay? Not all, but I'd say a lot of them, most of them, are probably like that. All right? Because they're always putting out fires. There's always something new, something challenging, something different. There's never an easy situation. But if you are able to come into this situation and provide some sort of knowledge where you can teach, you can give them tidbits of advice, how to manage, how to operate, how to create systems, how to, you know, leverage like an IFM to help you offset certain, you know, certain pieces of certain operations of the business that are just too time consuming. Like if you can teach that and then say, but you can also keep this piece in-house, however you can outsource this, or you can outsource all of these pieces, or this is how you keep this entire thing in-house, is you hire these types of people and these are the skill sets that you need, and this is how you train them, and this is like, if you taught all those things, all of a sudden what's going on now is that you're getting to a point where you're understanding what you're doing, and then you're refining your systems that you've created, because now you no longer are coming from it from a business, you're coming from it from a teacher. And when you come from something from a teacher's perspective, you try to find a way to dwindle something down, to distill something down so that it's comprehensible to everybody, to your audience that you're talking to. Me teaching martial arts for 25 years or almost 30 years, I believe, helped me get better at the martial arts. Why? Because yes, I knew how to punch. Yes, I knew how to kick. Yes, I knew how to block. Yes, I knew how to fight. Yes, I knew how to do all these things, right? But if you're trying to teach something to like a 7-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 22-year-old that's all beginners, your mind has to shift differently to teach them how something is done. And then how you teach it to an intermediate that's been doing it for a while, but like, all right, this is the progression now. This is the next level. And then how you teach it to like an advanced student, like, all right, this is the next progression now. Like you've been doing this for a while. Now you, how you teach it to a black belt that's been training for 4 or 5 years now. This is the next level. This is the next progression. This is what you want to be thinking about mastery in these areas. So what I'm getting to is that like you teaching your acquired knowledge over time is helping you become a better business owner. It's helping you become a better, almost contributor to the industry. And so I think a lot of folks misinterpret the fact that you have to be some sort of expert that like has a PhD or a CFM or whatever in before you can even teach something. That is not true. Okay. In today's society, it is very like we see it all the time where there's a lot of self-proclaimed experts out there that, you know, like they know quite a bit. Like I don't know the facility industry as well as others, but what I do know is I know how to market better in the facility industry than all the others. Do you see what I'm saying here? Like I might not be an expert about facility management, but I am an expert about marketing and marketing and facility management. Does that make sense? And so I use this platform to share my knowledge. I use LinkedIn to share my knowledge. I use my website to share my knowledge. I use different channels to share my insight. And sometimes it's not directly towards the facility industry or the property management industry. Sometimes it's a general observation. Other times it is like directly towards this industry. But what you don't want to, you know, sit here and get hung up on is like, well, I just don't have the years of experience as other people. Like I can guarantee you your audience probably doesn't even know who those other people are except for you. And so we get caught up in this world of comparing ourselves to everybody else when in reality you should be thinking more about like, how can I contribute more to this industry to make it better? How can I contribute more to make this really stand out? And by doing that, like when you put yourself in a contribution mindset where you want to give, then all of a sudden you are going to be putting yourself out there and you're going to be sharing knowledge and insight, and people are going to actually appreciate this stuff. They're going to sit there and think like, man, this is powerful. This is amazing. And what I want you to understand is that you can do this even at the most basic level that you might, like you might have a relatively new facility services company that's been around for 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And you might've been in the industry for a few years before you started your company. But I can tell you right now, like FMs are finding you and probably using your services because you have a level of knowledge higher than other people. Okay. And so if you want to grow your platform, if you want to grow your base where people start following you and they're like, this dude really knows their stuff, you've got to find a channel or a platform to speak on, to talk about what you're doing. And it could be podcasting. It could be blogs. It could be on LinkedIn. It could be on conferences where you sit on a panel. It could be a lot of different things. But I don't want you to think that you have to have like a level or certification or years of expertise, because it only takes 20 hours to have a high level of comprehension on almost anything, like 20 dedicated hours. Now, you've probably heard of like the 10,000 rule or 10,000 hours rule. And that's like a scientific study that you've become an expert in something that you've been doing if you've put in 10,000 hours. And I believe in that. And if you think about 10,000 hours, if you're working 2,000 hours a year, let's just make numbers easy because it's usually 20-80, but we all know that we all work more than that. But let's just say 2,000 hours a year, you do it for 5 years, you've essentially like, are an expert. But like, I don't want you to think that you have to put in 10,000 hours of work to start teaching something, okay? I remember teaching martial arts at 12 years old as a brown belt. I had 2 years more experience than my white belts. Now, I wasn't leading a class. I was leading a group of students, so a smaller segment of class. Only had 2 years more experience. I was an expert in their eyes. Do you see what I'm saying here? Or like a teacher's assistant in college. They typically only have about a year, maybe 2 years, more knowledge than the students that are already in the class and they're a teacher's assistant. Like, do you see what I'm getting to? They don't have 10,000 hours of expertise, of training, of knowledge. And so this is where I think a lot of folks just get hung up on. They miss out on this stuff. So if to at least help you better understand what you're doing with your company and how to contribute better to the industry, it's in your best interest to put time into educating, sharing your knowledge, your expertise, your wisdom, all that stuff, and find a platform that you're most comfortable doing it. Now, you're going to start off sounding very, like, oh, this guy's kind of boring, or she doesn't know what she's talking about. Like, you're going to sound a little like you don't have your voice. And that's okay, and that's normal. But eventually, as you keep doing this, you'll start understanding. You'll gain a high level of proficiency after about 20, 30, 40 hours. Okay? Like, I remember, I've heard this before, that podcasters typically get their voice after about 20 to 25 episodes. And I can see that, because then they start getting into their groove. They start having their soapboxes that they stand on. They start having the things that they believe in, like all those things. And all of a sudden, like, their voice starts kind of changing. There's a tone to how they deliver what they're talking about. There's a passion behind what they're saying. Like, it all starts kind of sticking. And that's what you're trying to do. Okay. So, and you know, what's kind of crazy is to go back to Alex Hormozi. He has a podcast. It's called The Game. Actually, I've only listened to like a couple of episodes. I typically stick with a few types of podcasts. Not that I don't like listening to his stuff. His stuff is amazing, quite honestly. But anyways, he has like, I think 400 or 500 podcast episodes. I want to say he said that it took him like 2 or 3 years before anybody started recognizing who he was outside of the fitness industry. And he had already had a podcast that had like 200 or 300 episodes. And it's like, he goes, no one really knew who I was. So he goes, I started getting more recognition around episode 400. And I was like, holy cow. And I want to say I'm on the brinks, if not right now, this might be episode 200 as we speak. Let me check. This might be episode 200, which is kind of ironic in my opinion. Let's see. Yep, this is episode 200. So I've been doing this for nearly 2 years. I started this podcast in January of 22. Right now, when you're listening to this podcast, you might be in December. Okay. We're on the cusp of hitting, this is 200 episodes, and I've been releasing 2 episodes per week and have not missed one. And I continue to follow that pattern. And we have some weeks where we have a shit ton of downloads and other weeks, not so much. And I'm like questioning, like, do I keep doing this? But I know that I'm doing this for myself because there's information that's inside my head that I got to find ways on how to get rid of it. And this is the best way of doing it, is sharing my journey, sharing my experience, sharing what I'm doing. A lot of this stuff, super, super transferable into the facility space. Other things, you're going to have to take like nuggets and tidbits of information and find ways on how you can mold it, but it'll still work. Okay, so just take that information. Hope this is helpful. Other than that, let me do 3 things for me at the end of my podcast. I always ask for it. Number one, please give us a 5-star review on either Spotify or Apple Podcast. Number two, please connect with me on LinkedIn. And then number three, please share this podcast with somebody else. This is how our podcast has been growing because of you doing that. Thanks a lot. Have a great one.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking a listen to our Facility Management Marketing Podcast Secrets. This is your host, Javier Lozano Jr. One other ask I've got for you guys is to subscribe to our email list. You can go to bouldermediasolutions.com/email. And that way you can get updates on some marketing trends that I'm seeing, some strategies that I'm executing. And more importantly, I'll be actually launching some webinars and training that's going to help your company use marketing strategies to essentially grow your business. We'll be doing some training, offering some courses, that sort of stuff. So you can always unsubscribe to that email list. It's no big deal. It's not going to hurt my feelings. This is more for facility management companies that want to grow their business by using marketing. All right, guys, thanks a lot and have a great one.